You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is the first Monday of the month. Therefore, it is time for our monthly segment called, Calvin,
Beyond the Cheese.
It's our opportunity to highlight businesses and industries in Wisconsin that are outside of the dairy industry. So we are delighted to be welcoming in studio from the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company in Milwaukee, John and Kate McLaughlin. Good morning. Thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's our pleasure to be here.
How long have McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company, how long have you been in business?
Well, we just celebrated 15 years, but we had a bit of an evolution. So we first started as the Brass Rooster.
I remember.
And then we added the Hen House. And then when we needed to come up with our business plan and our plan of attack, really, to survive COVID, we became McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company.
I'm so glad you're still there. You're still on Kinnickinnick.
Yeah, same location. We actually shrunk down.
Just a little bit?
A little bit, and refined what we really needed, and it ended up being one of the best things we've ever done.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, obviously, what you do is very niche. You make hats by hand. You are a haberdasher. You are a milliner. You actually still use the old forms that they used to use. It's an art, what you do. It is.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, thank you. It is. When you walk into our shop and atelier, it is like literally stepping back in time because we're surrounded by antiques making contemporary headwear.
And when you were both in high school, was this something? I want to be a hat maker one day. That's really where I'm going to put all my energy. How did this even evolve?
She's sitting right here.
It was you, Kate.
Well, I always knew from a little girl on I wanted to be a costume designer because of Singing in the Rain, my favorite movie. And so in the 80s, I was always making all of my own clothes. I was literally Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink.
How awesome.
And so junior year in high school, when we had home ec classes, I made my very first hat. And that hat was something you would expect on stage. And it was large, and it was tapestry with flowers and feathers and veiling. And my classmates made like little braided headbands.
That would have been me.
Yeah. So, you know, I went with it with gusto. And then in fashion design school, there was only one millinery class available. And I took it and excelled. And then it was something I developed throughout my entire career in fashion, in bridal, and then in costume tech, being a costume technician and designer.
The whole process, because I interviewed you many years ago when I was working for a different radio station. The whole process is so much more complicated than people realize, right?
100%.
So if you can briefly explain the making of a hat.
So the whole thing actually starts with sitting down with the client and asking them a huge barrage of questions.
Okay.
So it'll be everything from what colors they tend to wear, what they're going to use it for, if it's a special event or if it's for every day. If it needs to be rugged or so we go through all sorts of things and then we have them try on different styles that we have in already.
Sure.
And then we'll look at different colors and we start going through our vintage selection of ribbons and we refine everything down, take measurements. And then actually a device that I have here that was made in 1892, we use for every custom hat that we make. And it's called the Conformator. It was made in Paris in 1892. It looks like a mechanical top hat. And when you put that on somebody, it punches out a card with a 1/6 reduction of their head size and shape. And then we put that into another piece, which is an enlarger.
Okay.
And that becomes a...
The template?
Yeah, it becomes a perfect copy of their head. So we can take that and put it on the inside of the hat, and it custom shapes the hat to their head without them being there.
Wow. Now, there used to be a lot of chemicals involved in the process of making hats, like really not good for you chemicals.
Oh, absolutely. And when we're talking about hat making, there's actually two main divisions. That's millinery and hatting. So millinery is the art of women's hat making, and hatting is the art of men's hat making.
So you're not haberdasher anymore?
A haberdasher is somebody who sells men's hats and other goods.
Oh.
So when we first opened, I was a haberdasher. We all were. But when I'm making a woman's hat, I'm a milliner. When I'm making a men's hat, I'm a hatter.
And you're a hatter.
Yeah.
Actually, we have three of maybe about 15 master dress hatters left in the country.
Yeah, in our little atelier. Yes.
In your store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I can tell you none of the chemicals that we're using are as terrible to our bodies as they were at the turn of the last century all the way through like the 1930s.
Yeah.
We're using much kinder chemicals and stiffeners and sizings and glues and things to make the hats.
If you're just joining us, we are going beyond the cheese with the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company, and John and Kate McLaughlin are in studio with us talking about the art of making men's hats and making women's hats. They used to use mercury.
Oh, yeah.
So good for you.
100% gives you neurological damage.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
The first sign of it actually is the loss of fine motor skills, so you would get tremors. And the hat-making capital of the world at the time was Danbury, Connecticut. And mercury poisoning was so prominent in that area that it was actually known as the Danbury Shakes.
And how were they using mercury in the making of hats?
They're treating the fur.
The fur felts that we used to make the hats. And they would put them through huge mercury baths to make them more water repellent and water resistant.
Oh my.
So it wasn't just the people working the mercury baths themselves. It was people handling the hats all the way up to the trimming rooms. The vapors would affect the people on the floor above. There were all sorts of problems.
And how long did it take them to realize that mercury was the problem?
Until the early 30s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there are little tests we can do today to check like an antique or a vintage hat. And we do hat restoration and renovation at the shop as well. We're actually one of the very few shops left in the country that will do full refurbishment of hats, men's and women's. And there's been a few times where we've had to let a customer know that because of the age of the hat, it was treated. And so the hatters have to deal with that differently. And of course, price accordingly.
Sure.
For that.
Well, that's great to know, though, if someone has great grandpa's favorite fedora that's been sitting in a closet for 45 years, there's a place to go and have it restored. That's remarkable.
That's one of her favorite things to do.
It
oh my
really
gosh.
Is.
Renovating grandpa's hat.
Really?
John.
Resizing it, putting in new sweatbands, new ribbons, giving them a new life. I mean, that's a huge, because the quality of the base felt that
right.
they're made out of is better than what you can get now.
Now, I bet.
So refurbishing them is you're getting a better quality piece and you have an emotional attachment to it. So why not refurbish something instead of making something new?
And I think the best gift to everybody working on those hats is when the hatters, John and Steve, get into it and they hit that grandpa's hat with steam. They can often say to the customer, did your grandpa smoke cigars? Did your grandpa use hair product?
Did he wear really? Bay Rum hair pomade?
Gel or something?
Because mm-hmm.
yeah. you can smell it.
Oh, he's a Dapper Dan man.
Yeah. Also, too, one of the things John will often surprise customers with is, oh, grandpa was left-handed. And they're like, how would you know that?
And you can tell from the wear pattern on the hat.
On the hat.
Yeah.
I can tell which direction they wore it, if they tilted it to the left or right. Depending on if there's dirt and wear marks on the felt from the top of their ear.
So you're doing an archaeological
forensic,
dig on that.
Forensic hat work.
And that is so cool.
And then the stories about grandpa And then the tears often come. And then I think one of the best things we can do is we have a device from the 1920s that will perforate initials into the leather sweatband. And we've had several times where a hat has come in and it fit the customer. They had the same size head as Grandpa. And Grandpa's initials will be on one side of the hat.
Made with the same machine from the 20s. So when we do it,
it matches.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we put their initials in the hat.
How long did it take you to acquire all of that machinery from the early days of hat making? That must have been a process in and of itself.
Finding the equipment is half of the battle.
Right.
So there are a good amount of people who are interested, but they don't have, you can't be a race car driver without a race car.
Right.
And finding the right equipment is next to impossible these days. So we were quite fortunate. A big bulk of our men's hatting equipment actually came from the country's still running oldest hat shop, which is in Detroit, Henry the Hatter. And when their master hatter, Clarence, retired after 45 years in the business, he started there as a porter in the bathroom after World War II
and ended up
as the master hatter. And the third gentleman in the world to hold the current owner when he was born because he worked for his father.
That's
and now
crazy.
He worked, his daughter works for them now.
And they are still in existence.
And he wanted his equipment to come to Kate and I because he knew that we'd keep it together and use it for what it was meant for.
So we really just feel that we're the current custodians of this collection.
And we add on to it everywhere we can find pieces.
I bet.
It's a dopamine hit whenever whenever hat blocks or hatting tools come up. It's like our temperature rises and we have to have
We'll hunt leads down.
But I would think that those pieces, when you talk about the blocks and all the things, the early stepping stones of making hats, either just got thrown away over the years, right?
Oh, and there was...
Or ended up in somebody's attic or in their garage.
When late 60s, early 70s, things were really shutting down. Men's hat wearing was not in vogue for the majority of people.
Right.
There's a picture in Pittsburgh of a huge hat factory that used to be there. And there were so many wood forms and blocks that there were teams of people just throwing them out the windows into the river.
Oh.
And there's a burn pile in the lot next to the building where they're just burning.
That must
all
just
of the
break
it kills
your
me.
Heart.
It makes me want to go scuba diving in the river.
I bet.
In Pittsburgh, which nobody wants to do.
and the whole process now, so dealing with contemporary hat blocks and then having antique ones fixed, we lost our last American hat block maker over a decade ago now. And he retired in his late 80s. And so when it comes to the wood forms, there's no one in this country that continued the art
of
the sculpture and the proportion of making those. So if we're getting anything new, the best is coming from Great Britain or Australia.
We're going to continue our conversation with John and Kate McLaughlin with McLaughlin and Hayes Hatters Milliners on KK in Milwaukee. Stay with us. This is Beyond the Cheese. I'm Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined in studio by John and Kate McLaughlin, owners of McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company on Kinnickinnick. Is it Bayview?
It is.
In Bayview. We will include a link to your website in our show notes so people can check it out after the show and take a look at some of the wonderful, wonderful hats for men and women that you make. We need to bring hats back.
Absolutely.
We really, really do. My father was a mortician. He always had his fedora that he wore. You would not go out without them. What are your customers like now? Who's shopping at McLaughlin and Hayes?
Well, Our mantra is stand out, look sharp. So we have clients who, of course, come in for that aesthetic, that they, you know, really pay attention to how they present themselves, either because that's how they grew up or they're having a change in life and they want to just give themselves a little more self-care.
Sure.
And
we get people from 4 or, I mean, even younger to dead.
You have 4-year-olds who want hats?
Or their parents do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they'll bring them in, and it little girls who want to put something on, you know, everybody. And they're just, when the kids come in and they see the variety of colors and textures,
feathers,
everything, it's huge for them. So you see what they're drawn towards, and everybody's got something different.
I bet.
Yeah.
How
it's the last thing you put on. It's the first thing people notice, and it's just an outward expression of who we are.
Absolutely. And that's why when you become a hat wearer, the day you show up someplace without wearing a hat, it is jarring to other people.
I bet.
Because others look forward to seeing what the hat wearers are wearing, even though that they may not be wearing them yet themselves. They look forward to it. And it's almost every customer of ours, man, woman, everyone in between, it gives a permission for people to say, you know what? I can do that too. I have now been inspired. You're wearing that. You're being you. That's fantastic. And so that's something too that we really encourage in the shop is to, of course, we rarely put a wrong hat on a person unless they ask.
Because but they do exist.
They do exist.
I'm sure.
They do. There's a lot of math that goes into what we do. And but there's just really a joy in our shop because people not only are coming in to get what they want, but they're discovering something about themselves.
And you said something important, though. Not every type of hat looks good on every human.
Oh, not at all.
I need a brim. I have to have a hat with a brim. Otherwise, I look like a mushroom head. It's just the way it is. And so it's very much a personal thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes, it is. It comes down to style. It comes down to what colors you're comfortable wearing, or if there is an event that you're going to that you need a hat.
Do you do a lot of weddings?
Actually, right now, we're doing quite a few in the Atelier, beautiful couture and bespoke bridal.
Gorgeous.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's where a lot of my passion lies. And
she has a long history with bridal. When she lived in Detroit through all of the 90s, actually in the city, she worked in high-end bridal. And so that's something in a theme that's come through. So when she gets to do those pieces now.
Oh, I bet it's magnificent. I know you do fascinators too.
Oh, yes.
Which is like a half hat commitment.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because you don't... If you wear a hat, you are married to the hat, essentially. But a fascinator is a little bit more forgiving.
Absolutely, it is. And there tend to be more sculpture that we wear that are just fun and fantastic.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
So it just really every hat fascinator, whimsy that we might make, they're just so personal. And another thing that we're starting to see is more moms wearing hats for weddings.
Good.
Yes, which is lovely.
Mother of the bride, you mean?
Mother of the bride
and guests.
Because it's a wonderful thing that I think a lot of Americans have forgotten, that when we celebrate ourselves or we celebrate the rites of passages for others, we forget that we can dress to celebrate them. And we're not dressing to be a showboat. We're dressing because we want to honor them and say, we think you're special. And so here I'm going to put on this fabulous hat because this is a party.
Yeah, there was one evening we actually had a worker at the Warner Theater for the symphony who showed us to our seats and then said, I'd just like to take a moment and say thank you for dressing up this evening. You guys look fantastic. It's such a pleasure when people dress up because we understand that it's a tip of the hat, no pun intended, to the performers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're showing your respect and deference to them.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. You got to check it out. There's a reason you need a fascinator. I know there is. There is something coming up where you need one, or a felt hat or a straw hat or any kind of hat that you're looking for. They can do it at McLaughlin and Hayes. We only have about 90 seconds left. Are you training any young people? Is there anyone who's coming in?
When we changed our name, we took our partner of 11 years on, and he's the Hayes. And then we do have a couple of people, but nobody dedicated. We teach classes on both men's and women's hat making that can be customized for either groups or longer term to learn skill sets. But we don't have a dedicated apprentice at the time.
At the time. But, you know, they're very well. One will pop up. I'm also currently teaching at Mount Mary University in the fashion department.
Fabulous. Millinery. John and Kate McLaughlin with McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company on Kinnickinnick in Milwaukee. Go check it out. We will include a link to their website in our show notes. Don't miss it. Thank you both so much for coming down. Really, really appreciate your time.
It was our pleasure.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, a little audio sorbet. What is the one thing you're putting off at your house? This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to John and Kate McLaughlin from McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company on Kinnickinnick in Milwaukee for stopping by for Beyond the Cheese for June. Mm-hmm. It's such a great little shop. We will include a link in our show notes so you can check out some of the amazing things that they make. Hats for men and women and children, you name it. If you have a special event coming up, it doesn't even have to be a special event.
If you just want to look good.
If you just want to style a little bit, go get yourself a hat for McLaughlin and Hayes. It's a wonderful, wonderful, and one of the few left in the country.
Wow.
I know.
That's amazing to me.
It really is.
I feel like, I mean, they mentioned it too. I feel like hats are going to make a comeback. I feel like there are people my age and younger who appreciate some of those.
Are you hat curious?
Oh, I'm very hat curious. I'm always hat curious, but there's two major problems. One, just the commitment to a hat like that. Like I've got like 4 dozen baseball caps of varying teams and things being said on them. And I don't wear them a lot.
Right.
But also I have a ginormous skull and the fit's got to be perfect.
Of course.
And so that's always been a deterrent, and you can't just walk up to a stand and be like, I think this hat looks good, because it's like, it hurts.
Well, that's why you want to go to McLaughlin and Hayes, because they will make a hat to fit your head.
Yeah, exactly.
We make a hat to fit your head.
It sounds like a personal injury attorney, but it's not. It's a hat. It's a place that makes sense. We make hats for your head.
For your head, exactly. Check him out, McLaughlin and Hayes on KK in Milwaukee. This is the portion of the program that we like to refer to as audio sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we take a little minute to take a breath and get away from the news and get away from politics and just lighten things up a little bit. So before we started the show this morning, Greg and Calvin and I were having our confab, as we always do, about what we did over the weekend. And we started talking about household projects.
Yerp.
What is the project you need to get done? And you walk past it every week and you go, oh, I'm going to do that next weekend.
And you talk about it out loud to other people every week or month.
So they can hold you to it.
Yep. And trust me, they get tired of hearing about it.
I need to fix the crack in that wall.
Yep.
One of these days.
Yeah, I need to get to that.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What is the project you have been putting off? 855-752-4842. I know for you, for a long time, it was that play set in the backyard.
That play set is almost completely gone. It's no longer visible as a derelict play set. It's now just pieces of wood against the house that I've been cutting up over the weeks and throwing them out.
Fair enough.
So that is 98% done. I was like, no, 95% done, because there's still like support beams in the ground that need to be dug up and replaced. But the big thing now for me is the landscaping. The yard is under control, but the house when we bought it had some really nice landscaping done. And by our own admission, we're not landscapers. We don't like
planting. Not necessarily your thing.
It's not our thing. So it kind of was left to its own devices and became a wildlife refuge.
That happens with nature.
Yeah. So really, it started this weekend. I mowed the lawn, and there's one particular thing in the front lawn that's sort of overgrown and wild. And I went through with the weed whacker, and I just cleaned it all out. And then the next step is to dig it out, clean it out. And then I'm going to put some, like, real easy annuals in there. Or perennials. What am I talking about right now?
Perennials.
Perennials.
They come back every year.
Exactly. So I can just plant them and kind of be, I'll still attend to them.
Because you, see, that's the thing with perennials.
Yeah.
You think you can just set it and forget it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Well, then I have another idea, because there's some bricks that are in the soil.
Okay.
Just putting a potted something on top of it and just letting it be.
That works.
And then replacing it when needed. So it's not a project. It's just, I got to go to the store and pick up a new thing or get some, you know.
And throw some flowers in there.
And that's what I want to do kind of with the rest of the house. We have this plot of land in the back that was definitely designed for urban farming. It's
that big.
Well, it's not big, but it's just like you can, like, this looks like it was specifically created to grow flowers and vegetables and whatnot.
Okay.
And we're not doing that either. So I want to take it all out and just put down some soil and put down some grass seed and just make it part of the lawn and be done with that. So
that's your project.
See you in 20 years. All right.
We all do that. We all have a project. It's like, yep, I'm going to do that next month. 855-752-4842. What is the project that you need to get done? And it looks at you every weekend. PJ on the live stream says, painting the exterior of my house. Paint is expensive and the weather needs to cooperate. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those big jobs, I think, you just look at it and go, ugh, because it's so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little daunting.
It's very
different if you can say, can I just do this one quarter of the house this month?
Yeah.
And then get around to the rest of it.
Yeah, luckily we have like the vinyl siding. So I bought a power washer and we're good.
Oh, boom.
Yeah. So that is, those projects, I would probably talk to Bridget and say, let's hire some college kids.
They're not as easy to find as you might think.
I know, but still, it's just one of those. I mean, like I said, like when we were talking to Pat earlier about moving into your home and all these projects and all that stuff, when we were on his show this morning, you and I were, I was just thinking to myself, you know, we had our like standard for the home we bought was turnkey. We did not want to invest a lot of time and money into projects to make the house look great. We wanted a house that was already great and we could improve upon, but
it was
wasn't like
ready.
You can't go in the bathroom right now. It's broken.
Right.
So that was the thing, is like when you guys were talking about like taking it down to the bare bones and building it back up, I'm like, no, thank you.
That's what we did with ours.
Yeah.
You know, we stripped things down to the studs in the mm-hmm. bathroom and the kitchen and all of that stuff. But again, it depends upon the age of the house that you buy.
Yeah.
And we bought an older home that required that. But one of the things that I had been putting off, that I always put off, is washing the windows. And this is something that my mother did twice a year. She washed windows twice a year. I know it.
When you talk about washing windows, are you just talking about like spraying and wiping them down?
No,
squeegee?
I am talking squeegee and taking out, because again, we have an older house that still has the weights in the windows,
mm-hmm.
and taking off the storms and all of that and washing the storms and putting them back up. So that's what I did over the weekend. At least in the kitchen. I got one room done.
That's more than you had done before you started.
This is true.
That's how, when we were talking about this before the show, we had to look at it, because I hear people talking about the projects they're doing, like, oh, I was in the garden, or I was in the backyard, or I was doing this project from sun up to sundown. Like, I can't, if I look at projects from that point of view, it will never get done.
It's too much.
So I have to look at it from, all right, I'm going to mow the lawn and I'm going to cut up some wood from the playset and I'm going to take care of this little thing as far as landscaping, and then I'm done. Then next weekend, I'll do a little bit more and a little bit more, because we're not going anywhere.
Right.
It doesn't have to be done by next month.
Well, and I think otherwise you talk yourself out of doing it.
Every
just
time.
Because it's so much. Yeah. It's so much.
3 years I did that.
With that playset.
Jane, it's like... Between the playset and the landscaping, we were turning into that house. And to a certain degree, we still kind of are. I think in like a month's time, it'll be a lot better. But yeah, like, it, and Jane, it wasn't even a thing of like, oh, it's a playset. It was like I had taken apart part of it, and one half was leaning on the other half.
Oh, God.
For like 6 months. Yeah. So, yeah.
And every time you look at it, it's like, oh, that looks bad. I should do something about that.
Yep.
855-752-4842. What is your playset in the backyard?
What's your playset?
What's your playset? What is the project you have been putting off at your house for months and months and months? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Calvin, anything going on at the Calvinator household that needs to get done that you just keep ignoring?
I don't really have anything personally, but to Greg's point about looking like that house, my mom, whenever our lawn is getting out of control, she always says we look like the Beverly Hillbillies. And so that was her project this year, was making sure we don't look like the Beverly Hillbillies anymore. So she's redone all their flower beds and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do you have to help with that?
Me and my brother just have to trade off every weekend mowing the lawn. That's our
yard not
project.
So bad.
Well, it's really not.
Here's the question. How big is your yard, though? Because you live out in Western Waukesha County, and those yards can be big.
I live in a subdivision.
Never mind.
It takes me about an hour to do the whole thing.
Okay.
That's not too bad.
No, it's really not bad at all.
No, that's good. I now throw the headphones on, throw some music on, and just
and do it.
Work. Yep.
We were driving yesterday. Some friends and I were heading out to Costco, and in my neighborhood, some of the houses are much smaller. He had the biggest lawnmower I have ever seen, a riding lawnmower for the smallest lawn I had ever seen. I don't even know how you turn the thing around in this teeny little lawn.
See, that's the thing, too, is that, like, I had a riding lawnmower when I was a kid, but I think I mentioned this on the show. Our yard was bigger than the one I have now. And we also mowed our next door neighbor's lawn. So it was
so you had a fair
justified.
Amount. Yeah.
If I did that now, I would spend so much money and mow my lawn in 4 minutes. And it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It was like, wow, I don't even know how you turn that thing around in that little postage stamp of a lawn. 855-752-4842. The project you have been putting off for months and months and months. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie.
My project hasn't been put off for months. It's been put off every year for 4 or 5 years now, is trimming the lilac bush that I dug up from my great-grandmother's place. And I want to keep the lilac bush, but it's grown so tall, I can't really get
up there
to be trimmed yet.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get up on a 9-foot ladder, Ollie. I don't think that's a good idea.
Probably not. I keep mentioning it to my kids, but
dropping hints.
I think that's a lost cause.
I need to get that lilac bush trimmed. Yeah, you do, Mom. That's really too bad.
If only I had offspring who could do that for me. Wouldn't that be nice? Thank you, Ollie. I hope you get that thing trimmed up. Penny from La Crosse texting in, as you speak of projects that need to get done, I am on my roof. I'm putting another coat of coating on it. My motivation, I want to sell my building. Penny from La Crosse, listening on WLCX. Be careful up on that roof.
Oh, and speaking of people listening to us, I want to say shout out to Laura and Mequon, who came to the show this weekend and said hello. She loves our show.
Oh,
she
nice.
Loves Civic Media. And it was very nice to meet her and appreciate you listening to local radio and patronizing small business. So we
absolutely
appreciate you. Thank you, Laura.
That's
so much.
Wonderful. How many shows left, by the way, at Laugh and Tap?
Let's see, four. So one on Thursday, one on Friday, and then next week, one on Friday, one on Saturday. And then we have the open mic and finished. Then it's that version of it is closed down.
As you look for a new home.
As we look for a new home, and we'll announce more, but you can find out all that if you follow Laughing Tap on social media or go to our website.
When we return, we're going to wrap everything up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Buzz Off Edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and a whole people on what bunch of people on what used to be Twitter.
Yeah, hey, people on Twitter.
Morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. Hey, just a reminder, make sure you have the Civic Media app.
Why, Jane?
Because today our statewide Scani Summer Text to Win contest is underway. You have four chances for the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
In the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours, mm-hmm. you will get a keyword that you need to text in over that hour. And when you do that, you are in the running for some fabulous, incredible prizes.
Oh.
So your next chance will be coming up in the Tom Hartman Show. Be listening for that keyword. You need to text in via the Civic Media app only. That's
yes.
the only way to play. It's our statewide Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Again, four shots every day, 7, 11, 2, and 4 p.m.
And don't forget, spelling matters.
Spelling does matter. Yes, absolutely. So be listening for that keyword coming up with Tom Hartman after 11 o'clock. Coming up tomorrow on the show, Pat Kreitlow will be here from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Still getting used to the name change after 9:30. And then we are hoping to talk to someone about games and how games are actually good for you.
Yes, they are.
And good for your brain.
Yes, they are.
So that's coming up tomorrow.
They should have called it the Pat Kreit Show.
You can suggest that.
Okay, fine.
For next time around.
I know when you don't believe in me.
Calvin, it's 11:54. It's getting late. That means it's time for... If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this from the Associated Press, Lisa Bauman, with the byline. Headline reads, millions of honeybees abuzz after truck overturns in Washington State. There was a buzz in the air Friday afternoon, Greg Bach. Lisa had a lot of fun with this. 250 million honeybees escaped a commercial truck that was overturned. It happened about 4 a.m. close near the Canadian border. The driver did not navigate a tight turn well enough, so he rolled his truck. And unfortunately, even with the response of deputies and public works employees and bee experts, the box hives came off the truck. Local beekeepers swarmed to try and recover and reset the hives. But Ed, there were like 250 million bees that escaped.
No, thank you. If I was, I'd be like, you want me to do what now? I'm not coming near that thing.
They're just looking for a home.
No. Look, the bees are the bees. They're going to live. They're going to do their thing. They're going to get out with it. But like, if you called me like, Greg, we need your help. I'd be like,
no.
For what? How many?
Right.
Where? Nah.
Local beekeepers swarmed.
Okay.
Lisa had a good time with this.
Twice with the swarm
pun. She's an Associated Press reporter. How often does she get to write stuff like this?
Yeah.
Swarmed to help restore, recover, and reset the hives. The plan is to allow the bees to return to their hives and find their queen over the next couple of days. The goal is to save as many of the honeybees as possible. This is really actually something that happens every year.
Mm-hmm.
And some growers hire hives.
Yeah.
And they move the bees around over the summer so that everything gets pollinated.
That's really smart.
It is.
I was trying to make a really smart aleck bee joke there, but that's, you know, in favor of the environment and bees and whatnot, that's really,
it's
really
nice. It's
a good
thing. It's a good thing. And if you can have flowers in your yard, and honeybees are good bees. You don't want to mess with those kinds of bees. They're good for us.
Mm-hmm. And they really won't mess with you either. So
they don't.
You know, they're big, fluffy, and fat, and cute.
It's the wasps and the yellow jackets
and the
hornets. That's a whole nother thing. But the sheriff's office said thank you to the wonderful community of beekeepers. Over 24 showed up to help ensure the rescue of millions of pollinating honeybees would be as successful as possible.
This is for another time, and maybe we could get someone who owns a an apiary on the show to talk about this. But how do you wrangle that many bees? Like, are you just like running around with a bag going, ah, get in? Or are you like, is there a science to being like, you know, you set some
it foods might be an odor
or smoke or whatnot?
It might be an aroma or something.
Let's see if we can get a hold of an apiary.
Well, we'll look for a beekeeper.
There you go.
We'll look for a beekeeper. That wraps up today's edition of... Again, don't forget our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest kicks off today. Your word will be coming up with Tom Hartman after the 11 o'clock news. So stick around for that. That is coming up very, very shortly. And then the next word will be in the 2 o'clock hour with Todd, and then the 4 o'clock hour with Maggie Dawn.
I just feel like this sounds so weird, and it just feels so cool and legit now. We have text to win contests, and you can win fabulous prizes. And I heard Todd Michaels talking about the rules on a commercial. I'm like, we have rules.
We have rules, too.
I don't know. It just makes me feel very fun.
Text to win statewide Scani Summer Text to Win Contest is underway, so be listening again with Tom Hartman after 11 o'clock. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.